to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno o poldan.
Gospodarstvo davčnih oaz. Afrika je največja prejemnica uradne razvojne pomoči zahodnih držav. Poleg tega v zadnjem desetletju privablja vedno več tujih investitorjev. Ima status tiste uboge celine, ki jo je še pred desetletjem pretresalo mnogo državljanskih vojn in drugih oblik spopadov in ki je nezmožna stati na svojih nogah. Razvojna pomoč in tuje investicije naj bi pri tem pomagale. Tako je na papirju, a realnost je ravno obrnjena. Afrika je v resnici kreditorka zahodnega, razvitega sveta in neobratno. Razlog za to je siva ekonomija. Ne tista neformalna ekonomija, v katero so vključeni mali afriški kmetje, temveč tista, ki poteka skozi davčne oaze in letnost celine izčrpa stotine milijard dolarjev. Tej bomo posvetili današnjo južno hemisfero. Najprej nekaj številčnih podatkov, ki najbolj nazorno kažejo resnost problema, ki ga obravnavamo. Neto bilanca afriške celine v zadnjih 30 letih je minus 130 milijard dolarjev. Ta podatek upošteva vse finančne tokove, tako legalne kot nelegalne, ter tiste usmerjene v celino, kot tudi tiste usmerjene ven iz celine. Vsej tuji pomoči, zadolževanjem afriških držav in tujim investicijam na vkljub, Afrika torej še vedno svetu da 630 milijard dolarjev več, kot dobi. Razlog za to je močno razširjeno izčrpavanje podjetij na celini preko sistema davčnih oaz, ki tvori izjemno močne ven usmerjene tokove kapitala. Ti tokovi so tako močni, da izničijo vse formalne investicije, vso razvojno pomoč in ves afriški zunanji dolg skupaj. Med letoma 1980 in 2009 so ven usmerjeni tokovi kapitala iz celine znašali okoli 1,3 trilijona oziroma 1300 milijard dolarjev. Afrika po količini odtekajočega denarja glede na velikost svojega gospodarstva sicer izstopa, pa vendar podobno drži za cel razvijajoči se svet. Ta naj bi na letni ravni preko davčnih oaz z izčrpavanjem podjetij izgubil skoraj 1000 milijard dolarjev. Velik del tega denarja, okrog 80%, je revnejšim državam ukraden z mehanizmom manipuliranja cen tržnih dobrin. Gre za mehanizem, pri katerem podjetja manipulirajo s cenami dobrin, ki jih uvažajo ali izvažajo na tak način, da kapital iz držav v razvoju prenašajo v davčne oaze. Postopek je sledeč. Neko gvinejsko podjetje ima na primer za 1 milijon evrov letnega izvoza v Nemčijo. Namesto da bi dobrine izvozilo za tako ceno, s tem plačalo vse davke in tarife ter prikazalo profit v Gvineji, raje ustanovi podjetje v davčni oazi, na primer Panami. To slamnato podjetje pod nadzorom gvinejskega isto količino izvoza odkupi za 500 000 evrov, kar gvinejskemu proizvajalcu ravno pokrije stroške. Profit v Gvineji pa je ničen. panamsko podjetje na to te iste dobrine proda v Nemčijo za 1 milijon evrov. Preostale pol milijona torej ostane lepo skritih in neobdavčenih v Panami. Dobrine seveda nikoli ne pridejo na panamska tla, ampak se prek panamskega posrednika izvozijo neposredno iz Gvineje v Nemčijo. Panamsko podjetje lahko tudi preceni vrednost dobrin. Se pravi, za dobrine v vrednosti 1 milijon evrov plača 1,5 milijona in s tem de facto vloži 500 tisoč evrov kapitala v gvinejsko podjetje mimo zakonov in omejitev, ki urejajo tuje kapitalsko vlaganje. Podobne mahinacije se da izvajati tudi pri uvozu dobrin. Johna Christensena, direktorja organizacije Tax Justice Network, smo vprašali, zakaj ravno manipuliranje cen poglavitni način ilegalnega pretakanja kapitala iz razvijajočih se držav.
There are many, many ways of shifting money out of one country and making it appear in another country. But trade and commerce is the easiest way of doing this because you can engage in very, very large numbers. And not surprisingly, because the rules here are very, very weak, and there's lack of cooperation between countries, trade invoicing has become the biggest way for shifting capital around the world. It's very simple. Typically, it'll involve exporting products at very low price out of country A, invoicing to largely to an offshore subsidiary in a tax haven, and that subsidiary in the tax haven will invoice on at a much higher price to the end user. What you've done there, very simply, is to shift a large part of the end final profit out of the exporting country into the tax haven, and the tax haven charges on at a very high price to the end user, which means that a large part of the capital ends up staying in the tax haven economy. The rules of the game are very easy, which means it's extremely possible, extremely easy for people who want to shift capital and evade tax to use tax havens in this way. It happens very extensively.
Takšno početje je seveda nelegalno. Po mednarodno sprejetem principu na dolžini roke morata podjetji, ki sta med seboj povezani, dobrine in storitve izmenjevati po tržnih cenah. A ker manipuliranje cen poteka skozi podjetja v državah z visoko stopnjo poslovne tajnosti, je povezanost podjetij nemogoče dokazati. Nezmožnost pregona takšnih dejanj je pripeljala celo do nastanka podjetij v davčnih oazah, ki odprto ponujajo storitve, s katerimi za določeno provizijo ustanovijo in upravljajo slamnato podjetje ter uredijo lastniško strukturo. Skratka, izpeljajo celotno goljufijo. Nekaj smo jih poklicali in se predstavili kot interesenti za njihove storitve. Sledeči posnetek dokazuje lahkotnost izpeljave takšne goljufije, ki jo je omenjal Christensen.
I am interested what's the process of setting up the company in Panama, if I understand correctly, and setting its ownership structure.
Yeah, well, we set up a anonymous Panama company basically that's managed by our firm on your behalf, and then you know we can either manage it through nominee directors, or we can manage it completely by also managing the bank account as well. That's up to you. Obviously, it's more arm's length if we manage it, but you know you can also do it yourself and manage the bank accounts yourself. And then it's just a simple process of once the company's created, of issuing the back-to-back, doing the back-to-back invoicing.
How long does it all take?
Well, the formation side is quite quick, a week, you know, week to 2 weeks. The bank account opening, probably another 2 more weeks, depending on the bank. Some banks are faster than others. But allow, you know, for at least 3 weeks to get everything up and running.
Okay, and your provision for this service is?
Well, we charge for the entire fee. I mean, it depends how many invoicing transactions would you expect a year?
Probably around 5 or 10.
Yeah, that's right, not many. So basically what we charge is very simple. We charge for the company and the foundation, which is just our standard setup cost. It's usually it's $3,300. That includes the company and the foundation, a bank account opening. And then you pay an annual management fee of $1,000. That's if we're managing the accounts. And then you pay a 1% tariff on every transaction going through. And then that includes all the invoicing to both suppliers and customers, signatures on documents as needed by the directors. That's pretty much all you're going to need, actually. So it's pretty straightforward. It's really just a standard management package, which is, $4,300, including the annual management fee and then the 1% tariff on the transactions. And I should say that if you don't want, you know, if you want to, you could handle the bank account yourself if you wanted to. It's a little more risky for obvious reasons. But if you do, then obviously you don't pay a management fee, you don't pay the tariff. You're just paying for the setup of the company and the foundation.
To it too. Pretty straightforward. 3 tedne to get everything up and running. $4,300 letno in 1% provizije vam odpreta vrata v gospodarstvo davčnih oaz. Vam morda Panama ne ustreza. Lahko poskusite Singapur, čeprav, kot so nam povedali v enem izmed tamkajšnjih podjetij, tam birokracija deluje počasneje in sta to get everything up and running potrebna cela 2 meseca.
I'm interested in setting up an offshore company in Singapore.
Okay.
I believe you can do that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so I would be interested in what is the process of setting up such a company in Singapore?
So first week we plan the company setup. At the same time we collect all due diligence information from you. Then we do the company incorporation during the week. Then the next 2 weeks we open the corporate bank account. The next 2 weeks after that is takes for the approval of internet banking. That's it. So in total it is 8 weeks.
Če vam je to prepozno, morda razmislite o Hong Kongu, Jerseyju, Marshallovih ali Deviških otokih ali kateri drugi skrivnostni državi. Možnosti so neskončne. Postopek je res tako standarden, da samo pokličeš in čez 3 tedne imaš praktično že vzpostavljeno celotno infrastrukturo za utajo davkov, pranje denarja, izčrpavanje podjetij ali kakšno drugo prostotržno dejavnost. To je pokazatelj razširjenosti takšnih finančnih storitev v svetovnem gospodarstvu. Na globalni ravni ekonomija v senci znaša 18% ali skoraj petino globalnega BDP-ja. Povedano drugače. Od vsakih 5 evrov, ki jih zapravite, bo en romal čez davčne oaze. Telefon v vašem žepu, radio, na katerem nas poslušate, avto, v katerem se peljete, obleke, ki jih nosite, po vsej verjetnosti vsi vsebujejo komponente, ki so bile na neki točki trgovane preko davčnih oaz. Iz tega sledi, velja pa to posebej poudariti, da davčne utaje in nelegalno pretakanje kapitala nista zgolj domena nekih izstopajoče pohlepnih kavboj kapitalistov. Sta jedro sodobnega globaliziranega kapitalizma, saj se ju poslužuje večji del multinacionalnih korporacij, ki dominirajo svetovno ekonomijo. Ko smo Kristensena vprašali, katere panoge so najbolj upletene v nečedne finančne posle, nam je odgovoril sledeče.
Look, the very sad truth is it would be a shorter list if I pointed to the industries which are actually abiding, not, you know, not using tax havens, because I think this is a problem across most industries. I mean, the really serious cases tend to involve mining, oil and gas exploration, big pharmaceuticals, transport and communications, but also the majority of big manufacturing companies also appear to be using transfer mispricing and trade misinvoicing extensively. I think this is a problem that affects most industries. Right down to the revelations in the international press 2 years ago that Starbucks, the coffee chain, was involved in using very aggressive techniques to shift their profits through misinvoicing out of most of its European countries where they actually generate the profits. So if it applies to coffee shops, it applies to virtually every industry in the world.
Da je mera polna, spomnimo, da se Starbucks hvali s fair trade izvorom svoje kave. Poleg naftnih, rudarskih in proizvodnih sektorjev, ki jih je omenjal Christensen, je bilo razkrito tudi, da podobne finančne mahinacije izvajajo podjetja kot so Google, Apple, Microsoft in Amazon. Davčne oaze so torej tako utkane v sodobni ekonomski sistem, da brez njih globalni finančni kapitalizem ne bi bil več to, kar je.
You get up and howl about America and democracy. There is no America. There is no democracy. We no longer live in a world of nations and ideologies. The world is a college of corporations, inexorably determined by the immutable bylaws of business. The world is a business. And I have chosen you to preach this evangel.
For all my free market healthcare robbing, stock stealing, retirement fund fucking with niggas. Fuck your little credit card scam and jewelry stealing, crack selling, liquor store robbing motherfuckers. Shout to the homies, Carnegie, OG, Willie Randolph Hearst, Baruch, Rockefeller, the real Rockefeller, my main bitch, Leona, part of little Louis XIII, Scott Rothstein, Jack Abramoff, hold your head, my Rothschild niggas, let's get this money. I spent my day peppering America overseas, pension for the workers, nigga please, embezzlement, etiquette, private settlement, I'm better with Confederate rhetoric from my mansion in Connecticut, foreclosure that closed out the tenement, I twist words like a speech impediment, I hope you got good credit, bitch, if not, better get a new job with benefits, while I play golf with niggas and get cheddar with, new money buys brand new carrots, my old money bought your great grandparents, you got grills in your mouth, I ain't mad at ya. I own every gold mine in South Africa. Thanks, baby, you made me a billion. Plus, I own a building for each one of my children's children. That's the shit. Snort coke in the whip, Miss USA sucking my dick. Yeah, what? Fuck the law, cause real jailers for suckers. I go to country club prison, you dumb motherfuckers. I am the 1% fucking bitches, yeah. You know my CEO, corporate steez. Please overthrow governments overseas in a breeze. Politicians in my pockets for a few hundred G's. So if I'm ever in court, my assets are never freeze. I got a job and a house and a bank account. When I'm out, I doubt that's something you could say. And if not, then a fake death like Kenneth Lay. Make money every day the world burns on its axis. Why y'all struggling to pay taxes? I'm getting my money the fastest. Memos and faxes, shredded up documents. Slush funds through the corrupt continents. But they don't want me indicted, cause they don't want my dirty laundry aired when I fight it. Don't get my lawyers excited, cause what good is a law if you can't rewrite it? I got CIA traitors, dictators, so fuck y'all whistleblowers and haters. Shit. I'll invest money from Al-Qaeda in the bank, 9/11 widows go too late to. Capitalism's who I pray to. Fuck the state of the world. Money talks, so what the fuck I need to say to your girl? I don't pay them to fuck, I pay them to leave. You know my CEO, corporate Steve's greed. I treat countries like the IMF, down on your knees. Real gangsters run the world, fuck what you believe. I cut down a forest while y'all niggas burning some trees. I get your family murdered for a couple of G's. Cause your working class money ain't fucking with me. You think rappers are rich cause of songs you heard? My labels make the money and have it rap the fucking word. In the ocean, coasting with the sails out. Hey, America, thanks for the bailouts. I made off at the Banco Ambrosiano. Got away scot-free like El Vaticano. Activists, activists get mad at me because I'm a tax-free charity. 80% to the staff and company and 20% to the homeless and hungry. The country gotta pay the Fed Reserve. Kick back to the banksters, haven't you learned? You protest cops and patrols on the street, but I bought City Hall, so I own the police. Email, Facebook, and the shit you tweet. On a phone company, so I heard you speaking.
and sex with no affection, no invention to benefit the world. A man will exist till I got the money in my hand. World Bank interest rate, damn rate on a spot. But I'm a gangster, you gon' take my money, like it or not, nigga. I got your country in my pocket, motherfucker. You know my CEO, Masonic Steve's cheese. Only little people pay all these taxes and fees. Since you were born, we controlled what you watch and you read. And pretty soon we're gonna own the fucking air that you breathe. I take what I want, fucker. I don't have to say please. I convince you that it's good for you. Take it and leave. You think presidents are the face of a nation? I put them all where they are. End of the conversation.
Sistem korporativnih skrivalnic pred očmi javnosti in preiskovalcev je torej dosegel resnično epske razsežnosti. Kako je to mogoče? Kaj in kje je šlo narobe? Christensen razlog za razvoj gospodarstva davčnih oaz, kot ga sam imenuje, vidi v razvoju finančnega in nadnacionalnega kapitalizma v zadnjih desetletjih ter zastarelih regulativah.
If we look at the global economy as it is now, it's clear that the capital markets in almost every single country of the world are totally liberalized. Capital can flow easily across borders, and it can do so within a framework where there is little or no international cooperation to share information about capital flows, and in particular to share information which might help tax authorities to prevent tax evasion by their own residents. Part of the problem lies also with the fact that the rules of the game, which have been in place largely unchanged for the last half century, simply don't reflect the modern reality. The modern reality is one where the global economy is dominated by multinational companies. Multinational companies can easily shift their profits out of the countries where the profits are shifted into tax haven subsidiaries, and they can do this in very secretive ways. And the current accounting systems are not sufficiently transparent to allow us to clearly see what's happening and, where necessary, to trigger investigations. So the rules are inadequate, and multinational companies are by and large exploiting that weakness in order to evade tax. But the third part of this problem is that as capital has become more and more mobile in the global economy, it's been able to exert political pressure on countries saying, give us tax breaks, give us tax incentives, subsidize us. What we're seeing now is clearly an increase in this pressure from capital to be subsidized. And we're entering a period of tax wars, where you have leading countries, for example, the United Kingdom, saying that they aim to be more tax competitive than any other country in the world. Well, tax competition is quite simply another way of describing tax warfare. So what we've seen develop over the last 40 years is a huge tax haven economy across the world, where very wealthy people and companies are using tax havens to evade and avoid tax in the country where the tax is due.
Seveda tako stanje svetovnega gospodarstva ni naključje, niti ni rezultat gole nesposobnosti svetovnih voditeljev glede sprejema novih pravil za nove čase. Je rezultat neposrednega interesa najmočnejših gospodarstv, da se gospodarstvo davčnih oaz ohrani. Izraz davčna oaza najpogosteje prikliče asociacijo na tropske otoke s peščenimi plažami in palmami, ki so zaradi pomankanja surovin svoj gospodarski model utemeljili na nizkih davkih in visoki stopnji tajnosti. Takšni kraji so sicer pomemben del sistema, a niso edini, niti ne največji dobičkar tega sistema. Denar preko davčnih oaz v končni fazi roma v velike svetovne centre. Ti so končni porabniki storitev, ki jih ponujajo davčne oaze, zaradi njih te sploh obstajajo in so zato ključen del sistema. Manko interesa za spopad s problemom utaje davkov je torej razumljiv. Najbolj razvito mrežo davčnih oaz si je spletla Velika Britanija. Ta je spretno izkoristila svojo kolonialno preteklost tako, da z majhnimi preostanki bivšega imperija nadzoruje četrtino svetovnega trga s finančnimi storitvami. Skoraj petino tega trga predstavljajo finančni tokovi skozi London. Po valu osamosvojitev v 50. in 60. letih prejšnjega stoletja so Britanci zadržali nadzor nad večjim številom majhnih teritorijev. Ti vključujejo avtonomna kraljeva odzemlja, kot so na primer Kanalski otoki, Guernsey, Jersey in Isle of Man, čezmorska ozemlja, kot so Kajmanski otoki in Bermuda, ter države Commonwealtha, naprimer Mauritius, ki so samostojne, vendar je v njihovem pravnem sistemu najvišje prizivno sodišče še vedno britansko. Na teh ozemljih ima Velika Britanija večje ali manjše pristojnosti, od imenovanja guvernerjev do zadnje besede pri sodnih odločitvah. Deset britanskih čezmorskih in avtonomnih kraljevih ozemelj je danes na indeksu finančne tajnosti označenih za davčne oaze. Iz zgodovinskih razlogov so ta ozemlja še vedno gospodarsko in finančno močno povezana z Veliko Britanijo. London, bivša prestolnica imperija, je tako še vedno središče, kamor se stekajo ogromne količine denarja iz davčnih oaz po vsem svetu. Če bi vsa britanska ozemlja šteli kot eno, bi bila Velika Britanija na indeksu največja davčna oaza na svetu. Christensena smo vprašali, kako britanski finančni imperij deluje.
In order to understand the way that money flows around the world, you have to understand the different roles played by different types of financial centers. London itself is probably the world's capital of capital. It is the largest offshore financial center in the world. But it is very closely linked to a number of tax havens. We use the term secrecy jurisdictions, which are British, including the Channel Islands, Jersey and Guernsey in the Isle of Man, but Cayman also, and Turks and Caicos, and other islands. Now, these islands are particularly secretive. They are weak on sharing information with other tax authorities. They do not generally cooperate with what are called mutual legal assistance treaties. They have extremely secretive offshore companies which are not required to reveal any information about their ownership. They also use extensively the Anglo-Saxon trusts, which are a legal arrangement where people can pass control of ownership of assets across to a trust. And these trusts are extremely secretive. They are not required to be registered. They don't share information about themselves. They don't produce annual accounts. So the City of London works as part of a chain. People who are moving money out of Africa, for example, don't move it directly out of Africa, out of their home country, into the City of London. They tend to do it, first of all, by creating a trust in the Channel Islands. And the trust will own a company in the British Virgin Islands, and the company in the British Virgin Islands will maybe operate a bank account in Switzerland or Luxembourg. But the point of this is that once these structures have been created using offshore trusts and offshore companies, it becomes very easy for people in Africa to hide their identity behind these structures and shift their money into London, which appears to be on paper, London appears to be relatively compliant with anti-money laundering regulations, relatively open. But of course, the secrecy is happening in the British Virgin Islands and in the Channel Islands and in Switzerland. And that makes London appear relatively clean, whereas in fact it is the destination for much of the money being laundered through the world's international financial system.
V čezmorskih in avtonomnih kraljevih ozemljih bi britanski parlament lahko preglasil katerikoli lokalni zakon. To pomeni, da bi, če bi res obstajala volja, lahko po hitrem postopku ukinil vse omenjene davčne oaze. A v britanskem parlamentu sedi predstavnika londonskega Citya, ki skrbi, da razprava ne zaide v takšno smer. City je ozemlje znotraj Londona, veliko nekaj več kot kvadratno miljo, v katerem je skoncentrirana večina finančnih podjetij v prestolnici. Ta tudi izberejo predstavnika v parlamentu, saj ima na volitvah v Cityju poleg majhnega števila prebivalcev glasovalno pravico tudi precej večje število podjetij, predvsem finančnih. City je torej močna tvorba, ki zastopa interese angleške in globalne finančne industrije, ji daje prisotnost v najvišjih državnih organih in čeprav je de jure podrejena kroni in parlamentu, je zaradi gospodarskega vpliva ta odnos de facto precej bolj kompleksen. Kljub nikakršnim političnim pristojnostim pa ima London še vedno močne finančne povezave tudi s svojimi bivšimi kolonijami, predvsem Singapurjem in Hongkongom. Ta sta med največjimi svetovnimi finančnimi centri in med prvimi petimi najpomembnejšimi členi gospodarstva davčnih oaz. Ob britanski predaji Hongkonga Kitajski leta 1997 je princ Charles to priložnost označil za konec britanskega imperija. Seveda tu ni šlo za žalovanje zaradi izgube majhnega polotoka na drugem koncu sveta, temveč za izgubo nadzora nad pomembnim finančnim središčem v hitro rastoči regiji. Kot pravi Christensen, se težišče globalne finančne industrije in s tem pomembnost davčnih oaz premikata na vzhod.
In the last 10 years we've seen a shift away from European based tax havens the emergence of other tax havens. The reason why European tax havens are beginning to lose some of their business is because the European Union has, since 2005, had an automatic information sharing agreement in process, and quite a number of European tax evaders have moved their affairs outside the European area as in response to that European initiative. But of course, we're also seeing the growth of massive markets in the Far East as China, Indonesia, India become emerging powers. Their own elites are using tax havens. So we're seeing the growth of tax havens in the Indian Ocean. Mauritius, for example, has seen huge growth in the last 10 years. Singapore is set to emerge as probably the largest tax haven in the world for private banking clients, probably replacing Switzerland within the next couple of years. And of course, we've seen Hong Kong continue to steadily grow as it sits right there at the heart of the emerging Pacific Rim-based economy. So here we have three very big players emerging: Mauritius, Singapore, Hong Kong. And of course, in the Middle East, we're seeing Dubai and other Emirates begin to expand their tax haven activity.
Mreža davčnih oaz, tako britanskih kot drugih, seveda služi celotni svetovni eliti, ne le britanski. Na drugi strani jemlje slehernikom, najbolj iz razvijajočih se držav, pa vendar tudi tistim na zahodu. Evropska unija je v letu 2011 z davčnimi utajami izgubila toliko premoženja, da bi, če bi bilo normalno obdavčeno, povečalo proračune držav članic za več kot 1500 milijard dolarjev. To predstavlja skoraj 87% evropskih sredstev, namenjenih za zdravstvo v istem obdobju. Zaradi pritiskov javnosti v času krize in primankljajev v proračunih so zato države OECD-ja začele na papirju pospeševati svoj boj proti davčnim utajam. Lanskoletni podpis pogodbe o izmenjavi informacij o lastnikih računov med Združenimi državami Amerike in Švico je pritegnil veliko pozornosti. A te inicijative so zgolj predstava za javnost. Dvostranske pogodbe ne rešijo problema, temveč zgolj povzročijo premestitev kapitala v druge, nekompromitirane države z visoko stopnjo poslovne tajnosti. Poleg tega pa reševanje problema z dvostranskimi pogodbami tudi poskrbi, da davčni utajevalci v razvijajočih se državah lahko še naprej nemoteno pretakajo afriški, azijski in latinoameriški denar v londonski City, Cirih, na Wall Street ali v druge finančne centre. Države na omenjenih celinah pač nimajo ekonomske in politične moči, da bi izpogajale enake dvostranske pogodbe.
We have a long history of OECD countries trying to tackle their own tax evasion problems whilst not helping other countries to tackle their tax evasion problems, in fact deliberately blocking other countries from tackling their tax evasion problems. by allowing their own tax havens, that is British tax havens and American tax havens, to operate without information exchange with developing countries. The Americans for a very long time have refused to cooperate with Latin American countries, for example, Mexico. They've refused to cooperate with information exchange processes precisely because they've been attracting very large amounts of capital out of Mexico and other Latin American countries and out of Far East Asia into their own capital markets of Wall Street. So the Americans are very, very big players. And the unfortunate thing is between them, the United States and the United Kingdom and other OECD countries, the OECD is the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, they have blocked, for many decades, they've been blocking attempts, international attempts to strengthen international cooperation to counter tax evasion. And the problem is that at the moment, the OECD is the organization that sets the rules of the game. I think it's fair to say that we're likely to see a business as usual situation emerge later this year when the OECD puts its proposals to the G20 finance ministers. This is very bad news indeed for developing countries.
Edini učinkovit ukrep proti davčnim oazam bi bila enakopravna svetovna izmenjava poslovnih informacij brez izjem. Tega pa ne gre pričakovati ravno zato, ker bi bil učinkovit. Noben politik nima moči delati proti interesom, ki obvladujejo skoraj 20% svetovne trgovine in ogroziti ekonomskega izčrpavanja razvijajočih se držav, na katerem temelji postkolonialni globalizirani kapitalizem. Ta je v zadnjih desetletjih s finančnimi mahinacijami na sistemski ravni vzel stvari v svoje roke in de facto ukinil še tiste regulacije kapitala, ki so se de jure, oziroma ki so de jure preživele 30-letni pohod neoliberalne ideologije. S tem je bila dosežena nova stopnja razvoja prostega trga in nova možnost širitve kapitala, ki si je vladajoči razred gotovo ne bo kar tako pustil vzeti. Tako v prihodnjih letih lahko pričakujemo še nekaj uprizoritev za vedno bolj razslojeno svetovno javnost v obliki kozmetičnih popravkov gospodarstva davčnih oaz in programom razvojne pomoči revnejšim državam, ki prikrivajo resnično smer denarnih tokov. Za zavese poslovne tajnosti je pokukal Twitter.
Globalization to a large extent is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how they rule. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
We travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.